Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Chof Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on Daf Chof Hei, 8 lines from the top. Before we begin the shiur, an overall introduction we have noted under our No Say heading in the outside margin, where we have written Tsoa, solid waste, Me Raglayim, urine, Reach Ra, foul odor, regarding, and these things are going to be learned in our Gemara in the context of Kriyashma, Tefillah, and Divrei Torah. That's Kriyashma, we know what that is, Tefillah, specifically Shmona Esrei, and Divrei Torah, the study of Torah. Now, the Gemara. Itmar, Tsoa al Besoro, O Yodo Munachas Bevesa Kise. If a person finds dung or feces on his hand, on his arm, on his flesh, or his hand, or a person's hand is located inside a Beis Hakisei. In other words, a person is standing outside, and his arm is extended into an area that's designated as a bathroom. And when we speak about bathroom, we're speaking primarily about the bathroom of the Gemara, and that was a Beis Hakisei Kavu would be a fenced-in area with people relieving themselves on the ground surface, as opposed to holes dug into the ground, and certainly as opposed to modern indoor plumbing and commodes as we know them. So that should be borne in mind, especially because of a point mentioned later in the Gemara on Omid Beis. So, it will be something mentioned on Daf Chof Vav, which is called there Beis Hakisei de Parsoi. Continuing in the Gemara, so we have described the person that discovers Tsoa on his flesh or his arm extended into a Beis Hakisei area. Rav Huna Omar, Mutar Likros Kriyashma. Rav Huna says that does not prevent him from reciting the Kriyashma. Rav Chisda Omar also likros Kriyashma, and Rav Chisda says one is restricted, one is forbidden to say Kriyashma. Omar Rova, my time the Rav Huna. Notice we've dashed underlined my time Rav Huna, so you can compare this with 2 lines later, my time the Rav Chisda. My time the Rav Huna, what is the basis of Rav Huna? Tichtiv kol hanishama taleil ka. The neshama is a reference to one's mouth and nose. Those are the appendages or organs that limbs, if you will, that need to be clean for the purpose of praising the Almighty. So that as long as the neshama, which has to do with breath, with in our case mouth and nose, are in a clean area, the rest of the of an individual's limbs do not play a role. Rav Chisda Omar Osir Likros Kriyashma. My time, Alder Rav Chisda. What's his basis? Dichtiv Kol Atzmosai Tomarno Hashem Mikomocha. Kol Atzmosai. All of my limbs join in the praise of the Almighty. So, as a result of that, even if there is Tsoa on any of his other limbs, or his hand is extended into a Beis Hakisei, he will be restricted from reciting Kriyashma. Itmar, Reach Ra. Now the Gemara deals with the issue of foul odor. Reach Ra Shiyesh Lo Iker. Reach Ra, that has a basis, a solid basis, and Rashi explains more to the point. Sheish lo ikur shat soya munachas sham umasrachas. We're talking about a foul odor as a result of actual dung that is lying there and is rotting. The she'ein lo ikur is hafochas ruach. An example of reach ra that has no ikur is someone who passed wind, who released gas from his body. So all that you have is the odor without the actual rotting substance extant. Rav Huna, Omar, Marchik Arba Amos V'Kori Kriyashma, just distance yourself from the tzoa itself. You distance yourself for Amos, even though you are still going to experience the foul odor, and that is sufficient for allowing the recitation of Kriyat Shema. Rav Chista Omar, Marchik Arba Amos Mimokam Sheposak HaReyach, the Korei Kriyat Shema. Rav Chista says that you have to distance yourself for Amos from the point that the foul odor stopped. In other words, from the point that you would stop sensing the foul odor, then an additional four Amos of distancing, and only then can you recite Kriyat Shema. You can see that in this Rav Huna, Rav Chista argument, they maintain their same levels of ruling, where Rav Huna is lenient and Rav Chista more strict. Tanya Kavosei Rav Chista. We have a Tanaic source that supports Rav Chista. So you can see there's a framed section, and at the end of the framed section, we've dashed, underlined, where the expression Mimokom Horeach appears, where the source says you distance yourself four amas from the place that the smell stopped. So let's see the entire source. Lo yikra adam kriyat shema. A person shall not recite the kriyat shema. Lo keneged soas adam. Not opposite human waste, solid waste. Velo keneged soas klovim. Nor that of dogs. Velo keneged soas chazirim. Nor that of pigs. Velo keneged soas tarnagolim. Nor that of chickens. Velo keneged ashpa sherecho ra, and not opposite a garbage heap that produces a foul odor. V'im hoya mokum gavo asor tfochim o nomuch asor tfochim. If, however, the waste is on a platform that is 10 tfochim above or 10 tfochim below, then yoshev b'tzido v'kori kriyashma. One can sit next to that and recite the kriyashma. V'im lav, and if not, if it's on the same plane as the individual, then Marchik Moloi Einov, he would have to distance himself as far as the eye can see. V'chein l'tfilah, and the same with regard to Shmona Esrei. Reach Rashi Eishlo Iker, Marchik Arba Amois Mimokom HaReach V'korei Kriyashma. A Reach Ra that has a source, so one is to distance himself four Amos from where the Reach was last felt, and then the Kori Kriyash, and then recite the Kriyashma. That's the source. Omar Rava, less hilchasa ki ha masnisa, elo ki ha desanya. Rava says that we will not follow this particular ruling, but rather like another Tanaic source. The Rashi says, Les Hilchaso ki ha masnisa deli'el, the source that we just read, the Osar Tsoyas Klovim Chazirim B'She'ein Bohem Oros. The source we just read forbade the recitation of Kriyat Shema near the waste of dogs and pigs, even if there were no animal skins in them. And you'll ask, what's the connection between animal skins and these substances? So we should point out that in the tanning process, This dog and pig waste was used in treating skins in their preparation of leather. The contact between the two substances, the animal skins and the waste of dogs and pigs, created an especially foul odor. This source mentioned the need to distance from the Tsoyas Klovim Chazirim without any regard to animal skins. And as far as Rava is concerned, that's going too far. It's being considered too strict. Rather, we follow what is taught in the next source, the Sanya, continuing in the Gemara. Lo yikra adam kriyashma lo keneged tsoyas adam, velo keneged tsoyas chazirim, velo keneged tsoyas klovim, bizman shenosan oros lesochan. When is the prohibition of the tsoyas chazirim and tsoyas klovim is only when there are skins, animal skins, in them for the tanning process. The Meforshim point out that when it comes to tsoas adam, so the din of skins, you can see this in Rashi, doesn't apply. The tsoas adam is also even without skins in there. This is something you can see in the Rashi, who says, "Bizman sheyesh bohen oros atzoas klovim v'chazirim koi." This is going on dog and pig waste. Shedarkon l'siton be'ibud oros. It's normal procedure to put animal skins in that substance. But when it comes to human waste, even without skins in them, it's not normal to use human waste for tanning. Therefore, the restriction in the source is even without skins when you're dealing with tsoas odom. Turning back to the Gemara, Bo minei Rav Sheshes, they asked of Rav Sheshes, Reach ra she'en lo ikur mahu. What is the din with regard to foul odors that have no ikur? As we saw before, we mentioned in the based on Rashi, hafochas ruach, the one who passed wind, and you sense a bad smell. So what? How does halacha view that? Omar lehu, asu chazu. So Rav Sheshes told them, asu chazu hani tzifi debei rav. Come and view. Tzifi are mats that were in the base medrash, that people would sleep on these mats in the base medrash while others were learning. Dehani gonu, some people are sleeping, and the ikur is not in the Gemara, but the Rashi mentions that when people sleep, it's normal for them to release body gases and with the foul odor. Vahani garsi, and the others that are awake are learning. Vahani mili b'divrei Torah. This is the case when it comes to Torah learning, that we can tolerate Torah learning in an environment when there is the rech ra she'en lo ikur being experienced. Avol b'kriyashma loi. But when it comes to kriyashma, we don't have this tolerance. And Rashi explains that why the difference. When it comes to learning, that's where they are. That's where the people who are learning are supposed to be. So they don't have any option. However, when it comes to kriyashma, you don't have to sit next to or in an environment where you have the reach ra. Just get up and leave. Continuing in the Gemara, v'divrei Torah nami lo amoran, and with regard to Torah study as well, we don't have this leniency, elo dechavrei, when it comes to the foul odor caused by his friend, avol didei lo, when it comes to one's own passing of wind, then he's expected to wait not continue learning until the reach, the foul odor dissipates. Itmar, Tsoa Oiveres. Here we're going to deal with a situation. Someone is carrying the Tsoa. Someone's carrying a vessel that contains Tsoa. Rashi says, Tsoa Oiveres, Odom She Noisim Lefonov Giraf Shel Rei Laviro. Someone who is present while they are carrying by him a waste receptacle. Abaye, the Gemara continues, Abaye Omar, Mutter Likrois Kriyashma, you don't have to stop just because this Tsoa is passing by. And Rova Omar, Osir Likrois Kriyashma. Omar Abaye, Minoa Minola, what is the basis of my ruling, of my lenient ruling? Tisnan, we have a Tanaic source that is not going to deal with Tsoa, but is going to deal with a matter of Tuma. And as we've seen before, we've seen a relationship between Tuma and these sukyas of filth, we'll call it. We have Tuma on one hand and filth on the other, and we parallel them. So this features a source dealing with Tsoras. Hatome oimeid tachas ho'ilon vato oiver. A mitzora, a person who is suffering from tzoras, is standing under a tree, stationary, standing under a tree, and someone who is tohor passes by. So he passes by under the tree where the mitzora is. Tomei, the person who was tohor now becomes tomei. It's a type of tumas oihel. There are similarities, but they're not exact replica of halochas concerning tumas oil between tzoras and mace. They have in common that there's tumas oil, but there are differences. And here is an example of such a difference, that in the case of Tsaras, Tumas Oil is not always communicated, even though they're under the same overhang. In this case, if the Tome is stationary and the Tohor is passing by, he will become Tome. However, Tohor Omeid Tachas Oilim, the Tome Oiver Tohor. If the Tohor person is stationary and the Tuma is in movement, the Tohor person remains Tohor. Vim Omad, if the Tuma stopped, Tome, then the Tohor person will become Tome. V'chein be'even ha-menugas, and the same will apply to a stone that's menugas, that's afflicted with tzoras. And Rashi points out that the pasuk compares bias, which is a house that is the source of the even ha-menugas, to a person. And the reason for the difference between stationary, when the tuma is stationary or the tuma is moving, is based on the pasuk, where the pasuk says, Bodog Yeshev Michutz L'machne Moishovo. So that when is their Tumas Oyel communicated? When the Tome is Yeshev, is stationary, not when he is moving. The Gemara continues. So we just should point out that Rava sees from here, therefore, that if the Tsoa is Overis, notice with our markings, you can see we dot underlined a few lines above. We dotted underlined the expression Tsoa Overis, and in this source, Tome Over. So that, and in the case of Tome Over, we see in the source Tohor, and in the case of Tsoa Overis, Abaye rules likely that there will be an allowance to still say Kriya Shema. Continuing in the Gemara, the Rava Amar Loch, Rava's response to this is, Hosam, in the case of Negoyim, Bekviusa Talia Milsa, Dechtiv, there it is, as we saw before in the Rashi, it's dependent on something being fixed, established and fixed, and motionless. Bodod Yeshev Michutz Machna Moshavo. The emphasis there is on Yeshev and Moshavo, something that is stationary. Hocha, with regard to Kriya Shema, there is a different standard, and that is V'hoya Machnecha Kodosh, your camp shall be holy, Omar Rachmona V'holeko, and that's what the Torah says, and V'holeko means in the case where you have Tsoa, even if it happens to be in movement, where you are and Tsoa is passing by, you're the Machaneh, the encampment, the location is not Kodosh, is not considered holy. So Rava sees his ruling of stringency based on this analysis, this distinction. Omar Rav Papa, Pi Chazir Ketsoya Iveres Domi. The mouth of a pig has the din of Tsoa Overis. Pigs are creatures that are known to be filthy and engage in filthy activities. Hence, they have a din of Tsoa Overis. The Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious, even without Rav Papa teaching me that, I would have known that. Rashi says, the pi chazir eino below tsoa, the mouth of a swine, of a pig, is always with waste on it. So the Gemara says, lo tzricha, the teaching of Rav Papa is necessary, afagav de solik minara, even if the pig arose from a river. In other words, you would have thought that the pig being in the river and contact with the water would have cleaned it off. So we say no, not to rely on that. Omar Rav Yehuda, Sofek Tsoa Asura, Sofek Mei Raglayim Mutorim. If there is a doubt concerning Tsoa, so then one shall not say Kriya Shema. If there's a doubt concerning something being urine, then it's muter. Iko diamri, another version of this. Omar of Yehuda, sofek tsoa v'bayis muteres. If there's doubt concerning tsoa, and it's you're in a house, it's muter. It's not normal to have solid waste left in a house. And we pointed out before that, especially with the Gemara's mindset, that all relief facilities were ground level enclosed, outdoor ground level enclosed areas, so there was never any dung in a house. The ashpa asura, if there's a doubt concerning tsoa in a garbage heap, so the substance that you are in doubt of is to be treated as if it is tsoa, and therefore be usher to say kriyashma. Sofek me raglayim afilu ba'ashpa nami mutorin. When it comes to a doubt concerning urine, even if you're in an ashpa, a garbage heap, that you don't have to worry, you don't have to distance yourself, and you can say kriyashma. Sovar law kiha de Rav Hamnuna. The ruling of Rav Yehuda is in conformity to Rav Hamnuna. The Yom Rav Hamnuna lo osra Torah. With regard to Meira Glayim, he says that the Torah does not ban elo keneged omud bilvad uched Rabbi Yonason, only opposite an actual urinal flow of urine. Only then does the Torah say that one shall not be in its presence for the recitation of Kriyat Shema. Uch Rabbi Yonason, based on his teaching, Rabbi Yonason raises a incongruity between two psukim, which are both found in Sefer Dvarim. One is Pasuk Yud Gimel, and the next is Pasuk Yud Aleph. Let's see what the two psukim say. Ksiv Yad Tie L'cho Michutz Machne V'Yotzoso Shoma Chutz. Their yad is a location, shall be established outside of your camp, and we're dealing with, let's say, the case of the Jews in formation in the desert when they were traveling, or other situations of an encampment as well. And there shall be a location for your going out of the camp to relieve yourself. And there's no mention in this pasuk about the need for covering something up. Just go outside the camp to relieve oneself. We'll see if there's another pasuk that says, V'yosei t'yelecho, it goes on to say, Al azeinecho, v'chisiso es tse'osecho. That pasuk refers to someone should have a shovel available in order to cover one's waist. So here you have the next pasuk talking about the need to cover one's waist. So the first pasuk quoted here, no need to cover. Second pasuk, yes. Okay, so how do you resolve these two? Kan v'gedolim, kan v'ktanim. One has to do with solid waste. There, that's the second pasuk that needs to be covered. The liquid, the urine, does not. Almo ktanim lo osra Torah l'kenegin omud bilvad. So you see that the Torah doesn't have any objections to the urine, unless it's actually present and it hasn't reached the ground. However, once it's fallen to the ground, the urine, from the Torah standpoint, doesn't constitute a violation of Kedushas HaMachneh. Rabbonin hu degozru behu, the Rabbonin, though, imposed the stricter rulings of a rabbinic nature. V'chi gozru behu Rabbonin, when does their ruling apply, treating the urine with stringency? Bivadon, when it's certain urine. Avol bisfekon lo gozer, but if there's a matter of doubt concerning the urine that's on the ground, they did not impose any rabbinic restrictions. Ubivadon ad kamo, and when we speak about certain urine, up till what level of presence, what level of wetness is it of concern? So you will see now in the Gemara a series of triangles, and we've noted on the side under our Mivneh heading, Deos Shechiv Harchoka Mimei Raglayim Hainu Kozman Shematpichin. We'll see, we have three triangles here that represent three opinions that say that Mei Raglayim poses a problem as long as they are damp. We'll see a flipped over triangle, Deo Machmira Kozman Shirishuma Nikr. This is a stricter opinion that says as long as their mark is noticeable, the mark left by the on the spot of ground where the urine was deposited. Let us turn now to the Gemara. So we asked, up to what point does the urine pose a problem? Omer of Yudam Shmuel Kozman Shematpichin. The expression matpichin, we'll spend more time on this expression later, but for our purposes right now, we'll say it's a level of dampness. V'chein omar rabba barbachanam rabbi yochanan kolz man shematpichin, as long as there is dampness. V'chein omar ulo kolz man shematpichin. Geniva mishmei de rav omar. Geniva is a name, he quoting rav, he says, kolz man sherishumon nikr, as long as there a stain is visible, or an imprint, a mark is visible. Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, in responding to Gneva's quote of Rav, says, Shora le more le Gneva. The Lord, the Almighty, should forgive Gneva in saying a false testimony as to what Rav had ruled. Rashi says, Mecholo ribono de vadai sheker heid mishmei de Rav. And how does Rav Yosef know this? Hashta tsoya, Omar Viram Rav. Regarding tso, which is a more serious substance, Rav was quoted as saying, Kevon shekormu poneho muter. Once the tsoa develops a krum is a crust around it, a dry crust on the waist, it no longer poses a problem. The meiraglayim, once they become dry, the situation of Rishuma Nikar is it's basically it's dry there. However, you see a stain of meiraglayim that would not pose, that certainly would not pose any problem. Omar le Abaye. Abaye, responding to Rav Yosef, says, "My choses de samchis aha. What is it that you see fit to rely on Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda's testimony in the name of Rav, to be lenient with regard to the tsoya, and hence to ask on Geneva? Smoch aha the Omar Rabba bar Rav Huna Omar Rav. Why not rely on a different version as to what Rav said regarding tsoa?" Soa filu kecheres asura. There's another version of Rav that presents a very strict approach that soa, even if it's like cheres is clay. Even if it's like clay, dry clay, it is usur. So that would be that ruling is similar to what Geneva said. If you parallel soa to meiraglayim, that even if the rishuma nikar is present, it's still usur. So at this point in the Gemara, we see two schools of thought regarding the Meiraglayim, and we even see two schools of thought regarding Rav's ruling regarding Tsoa. The Gemara asks, "Vehechi dami Tsoa kecheres? Can you explain through an example what level of dryness it is when you say Tsoa like clay?" Amar Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Zman Shezorka vieno nefreches, as long as you would throw it and it would not nefreches is to come apart to become dismembered or crumble. The Iko di Amri, another version, is Kolzman shegoilula vieno nefreches. In other words, this is a very big stringency. Namely, as long as if you were to merely roll it and it wouldn't crumble, it still is usur. Namely, even though by throwing it, it would crumble because it's quite dry, if by rolling it, it would not crumble, it's a sign that it still poses a soa problem. Omar Ravina, have ko'imno kamei derav Yehuda midifti. Chozotso, I was in the presence of Rav Yehuda from Difti, and we saw Tsoa. Omar Li, Ayin, check it out. E kormu ponel e lo. Check it out. Did it develop a crust or not? Iko di Amri, Hochi Omar Li. Another version of the story is, thusly he said to him, Ayin e mifloi afluye. Has it developed cracks in it? The cracks also is a sign of a certain dryness level. And if it has the cracks in it, so that's considered dry, and it would be mutter to say the Kriya Shema in its vicinity. My Havi Allah. Here the Gemara wants to know, bottom line, regarding the Meir Aglaim, what is the din? Itmar Tsoa Kecheres. Ameimar Omar Asura Mar Zutra Omar Muteres. Omar Rava. Tsoa that's reached the dryness level of clay, asura. Umeiraglayim kol zman shematpichin. But with regard to meiraglayim, they present a problem only when they are matpichin, damp. If they're not matpichin, then we can say mutter. Meisvei. We're now going to focus our question on the Mei Raglayim. It says in the following source, Mei Raglayim, Kol Zman Shemat Pichin, Asurin, Nivlu, O Yavshu, Mutarin. Nivlu is absorbed, Yavshu is dried, Mutara, my love, Nivlu, Dumya, Yavshu. Are we not to understand this as follows, that absorbed, Nivlu is similar to Yavshu. Ma Yavshu, the Ain Rishuma Nikr, just like when it's dried, so there is no stain visible, Af Nivlu, the Ain Rishuman Nikr. So too in the case of Nivlu, absorbed into the ground, it's provided the stain is not visible. Ha rishuman nikr aser afagav the ein matpichin. However, if a stain is visible, then the mei raglayim pose a problem, even though they're not matpichin, they're not damp. So this is the question that we're raising on the ruling that we saw by Rava just a few lines up, where Rava said if it's called the mei raglayim only if they're matpichin. Is there a problem? But if it's not matpichin, it's mutter. Here we are inferring that even if it's not matpichin, it still is a problem. So the Gemara asks, "Letamech emo reisha?" Well, according to the way you are learning the source, state the reisha, which says, "Kol zman shematpichin hu de oser." When is it prohibited? Only if it's matpichin. Ha rishuman nikr shori. But if it's rishuman nikr, then it will be allowed. So compare this to that which we saw just the line above, you see quite the opposite. Elameha leka lemashma minasa. The Gemara concludes that from this source there is nothing to conclude. Lema ketanoi. Let us say that the issue is a machlokes tanoim, a tanaic controversy. Kli shenishbechu mimenu mei raglayim also likros kriyashma kenegdo, a vessel from which they're poured out mei raglayim. It's also to say Kriyashma next to it. Umei raglayim atzmon shenishbechu, the urine itself, the substance itself, as opposed to the vessel that holds them. Nivlu mutter, lo nivlu aser. If it gets absorbed, it's allowed. Then if it's not absorbed yet in the ground, it's not allowed. Rabbi Yossi Omer calls man shemat pichin. Rabbi Yossi applies a different standard. But we have to explain or define these standards before we can suggest that we have a machlokes tanoim. My nivlu umay lo nivlu the omar tanakama. What level of dryness is he referring to when he speaks about nivlu versus no not nivlu? And we have used a double underlined marking in order to show the stages of analysis. So the first stage is e lemo nivlu means the ein matpichin, that they're no longer, there's no dampness. Loi nivlu, it means dimat pichin. The osa Rabbi Yosi lemeimar kol zman shemat pichin hu de osir. As long as there's dampness, it's forbidden. Ha rishuma nikr shari. But if it's not matpichin anymore, it's just a stain is visible, that it would be allowed. Hainu Tanakama, then he and the Tanakama, Rabbi Yosi Tanakama, are essentially saying the same thing. And that can't be. There are two deos, two opinions in this source indicating there's a machlokes. Ela nivlu of the Tanakama means the ein rishuma nikr, that there's no visible stain, that's when it's allowed. Loi nivlu equals the rishuman nikr. The stain is still present, and then it would be usur. The also Rabbi Yosi lemeimar. Rabbi Yosi is coming now, according to this approach, and suggesting a leniency, and says kol zman shemat pichin hu da'aser. As long as there is dampness, that and only then are they forbidden. Hori shuma nikr shari. However, if a stain is visible, it would be allowed. So then, the issue concerning mei raglayim and at what point they are aser. Would turn out to be a machlokes tanoim, and more specifically, a machlokes tanoim regarding mei raglayim and the situation of rishumon nikr. So this would be the end of our question. The question, and we've noted it as a long question by the encircled shin to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with the descending vertical dashed line, showing that all of these lines were designed to demonstrate that Rishumon Nikr by Mei Raglayim is a machlokes tanoim. Tanakama forbidding and Rabbi Yossi allowing. The Gemara rejects this. Loi, the Kule Alma calls Manshimat Pichin Huda Aser. Everyone will agree, like Rava, that as long as it's Matpichin, it's forbidden. Ha Rishuma Nikr Shari. However, if it's just that there is a stain visible, then it would be allowed. The Hacha, and here in the source we just saw with the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi arguing, we're here at the very top of Omid Beis. The Hacha B'Toifeach Amanas Latpiach Iko Binayu. This is a higher level of dampness than simple dampness. Toifeach Amanas Latpiach means that upon touching it, you would absorb a certain level of dampness that upon touching something else, you would convey the dampness onward to the next item. So the Rashi at the top says, B'Toifeach Amanas Latpiach Iko Binayu, Tanakama Boy Amanas Latpiach. In order for Mei Raglam to pose a problem, it would have to be that damp, which is quite damp. And Rabbi Yossi Machmir, according to this final stage of the Gemara, that Rabbi Yossi then, not like we thought before, but rather we're setting up Rabbi Yossi as being stringent. So this is the third stage of analysis of that particular source, but the result is not saying that Rava per se is a machlokis tanoim. Rava didn't get into that level of detail when he said kol zman shemat pichin it's asur. The Gemara continues. This is a quote from the Mishnah on Chof Beis on the Beis. Yorad litboil im yocho lalois uleskasis likrois ashil teonet zechamo yalev yiskaseh. The Mishnah featured someone who was immersing himself in a mikveh, and it was early morning hours, and could he descend, arise from the mikveh, cover himself, and then say Kriyat Shema, then he should do thusly. From the Mishnah's standard of ability to finish the mikveh experience before the Netzach Hamo, or if not, so remain in the mikveh and say the Kriya Shema as long as you can do it before the Netzach Hamo, leads us to think that we have a Stam Mishnah, an unnamed Mishnah, which indicates something that's very authoritative, and hence we would rule thusly that the Zman of Kriya Shema is to be, the of morning Kriya Shema is to be, is at the, with the, with, prior to the actual sunrise. We have already learned that there are different opinions regarding the time of the morning Kriyashma. So here the Gemara asks, Lema Tono Stamo Kerebi Eliezer. Should we say that we have a Stam Mishnah ruling like Rebbe Eliezer, to Amar Im Honet Sechama, that is the time for Kriyashma? namely, that you are to finish Kriyashma before the actual sunrise. The Gemara says, Afilu Temo Rabbi Yeshua. Our Mishnah could be in agreement with Rabbi Yeshua. And as far as what's featured in the Mishnah, Vedilma Kivosikin, the practice mentioned in the Mishnah is in accordance with the Vosikin. The Rashi says on the third line from the top, Dilmo Le Vosikin, Ka'omra Masnisin Imon Eitzachamo. Maybe what the Mishnah is featuring regarding the fellow in the mikveh is in accordance with the Vosikin, Aval Lekuli Almo Ad Sholoshos, but as far as everyone else is concerned, someone who is not associated with the Vosikin, the Vosikin were known as people who were exceptionally pious and meticulous in mitzvah fulfillment, but for the general public, Rabbi Yeshua's approach would also be acceptable, which says that Kriyat Shema can be said until the third hour of the day. It was the practice of the Vosikin to complete Kriyat Shema with the rising of the sun, but the general population could rely on Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara asks, how could it be that a person could be in the water. His head is obviously out of the water, enabling him to recite the Kriyat Shema, but the rest of his body, from his shoulder down, is in the water. Varei libo roa esa erva. Is there not a problem that his libo, his heart, or his chest, is on the same level as his private body parts, his erva, and that would that not pose a problem for of holiness, of modesty, with regard to Kriyat Shema? Amar Abelazar, v'itemo Rav Acha bar Abba bar Acha mishum Rabbeinu. The approach taken here in the Gemara is Mayim Akurim Shanu. We're dealing with murky water. The Damukara Smichta Shlo Yira Liboy Ervoso. It's murky water that's viewed halachically as Ara Smichta, solid ground. So that if you were to imagine a person who was his head above ground and the rest of his body in the ground, and the dirt attached to him, there would be no problem, because that would be sufficient to prevent libo roa es ha'erva. So the answer that the Gemara gives here to the water situation is it's murky water. Tana Rabbanan, mayim tslulim yeshev bohen ad savor v'kore v'yeshomim ochron baraglo. This source has two opinions, and someone sitting in clear water, and it's time to say Kriyat Shema, what should he do? So the first opinion is he simply sits till his neck in the water and says Kriyat Shema. The second opinion says he has to stir up the water with his leg to make it murky. The Gemara asks regarding the Tanakama, the first opinion, the Tanakama Rei Libo Rosa Erva, what about the Libo Rosa Erva problem, about his chest and his erva on the same plane? Answer: Kosovar libo rosa erva mutter. This regarding the Tanakama here, the Gemara says he holds it is not a problem. Question: Vare akevo roa esa erva. What about the fact that his heel of his foot is on the same plane as his erva? The Gemara answers: Kosovar akevo roa esa erva mutter. The fact that his heel is on the same plane without any interposition between that and his erva poses no problem. Itmar, the Gemara goes over this again. Akevo roya serva muter, the heel of one's foot and the erva being on the same plane is okay, no gea. What happens if a person is seated in such a way that his foot is in contact with his erva? It's a type of a bent foot position where the foot actually touches that area. Abai Omar Oser, Varova Omar Mutter. So you have a machlokas Abai ruling strictly and Rava leniently. We should point out that there are a couple of versions of this machlokas, and we've indicated that with our markings, the Roman numerals 1 and 2, and the squiggle underlines highlighting. Rav Zvid Masni Law Laha Shmaitza Hachi. What we've seen till now is Rav Zvid's version. Rav Chinana Braid Rav Ika Masni Law Hachi. Rav Chinana has a different version, which is a stricter approach. Nogea Divrei Kol Oser, as opposed to the first version that we had, where Nogea was a machlokes Abai and Rava. This version has where the Akeva Nogea Esa Erva, everyone forbidding. Roye, what about Akeva Roye Esa Erva? Abai Omar Oser, Rava Omar Muter. Lo Nitno Torah Lemalachei Hashores. The Torah was not given to service angels. Then Rashi explains a little further on the upper part of the narrow lines, third narrow line. Lo Nitno Torah Lemalachei Hashores. She'ein Lohem Erva. The Torah wasn't given to service angels that have no erva. Al Korchenu Yesh Lono Erva. We're human beings and we have these organs. The ain lo onu yecholim lishomer mikol zeh, and we can't be careful from all of these things, namely to be so careful that a person is never in a situation where he needs to say Kriyat Shema and his leg or his heel and his erva are not on the same plane. That is too much to expect from a person. An example of this would be a person is wearing all that he has on his body is a bathrobe. and a bathrobe with its belt comes around a person's waist. In a situation like that, you have akevoy roya es erva. So Rava will tell you that it's okay to say Kriyat Shema like that, because to expect the person to be careful even like that is expecting too much. The Gemara continues, V'hilchasa noigea aser roya mutter. The Torah, the Gemara itself rules like Rava. And the Tosus explains, why is nogea in the case of akevo nogeva erva aser? So the Tosus says, the gazrina nogea kevo shemo yiga biyodav. That if we were to allow where the foot touches the erva, we might end up having someone saying Kriyat Shema with his hand touching that area, and that would certainly be forbidden. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rava, Tsoya ba'ashoshis. Ashoshis, Rashi has a word in French that sounds very much like an English word, lantern. So what we can imagine here is tsoa, some dung or feces in a glass container. So if they are the feces that tsoa is in this glass container, mutar likros Kriyat Shema kineged, that would be allowed to recite Kriyat Shema, so that the visual contact with the tsoa is not itself a problem. The fact that it's separated, there's a mechitza, there's something between the person and the tsoa, is enough. Erva b'ashoshes, the Gemara goes on to say, if you have, let's say, nakedness contained behind a glass screen, or literally in a bottle, in a clear bottle, osur likros Kriyat Shema kenegda, that would be a prohibited environment for Kriyat Shema recitation. The Gemara goes over these points. Tsoya b'ashoshes mutar likros Kriyat Shema kenegda, with tsoa in the jar, it's okay to say Kriyat Shema. The tsoa b'kisutam talya milsa, the tsoa is dependent on whether or not it is covered. As we saw in the pasuk that we learned earlier, Tvarim Chof Gimel, Perek Chof Gimel, pasuk Yud Dalid, where it said, V'chisisa es tse'osecha. So, tsoa is dependent on being covered. V'ha michsa, it is covered, it is separated, even though it's glass. The Torah never expressed a standard with regard to what the nature of the covering is, even if it's a transparent covering. Nevertheless, it is a covering. Erva b'ashoshes also likros Kriyat Shema kenegda, with regard to recitation of Kriyat Shema in the context of nakedness, there the Torah asers. V'lo yira b'cho ervas dover amar achmona v'ho ko mischazio. When it comes to erva, the term kisui is not used. The term of visibility is used, whereby there shall be no visibility of erva. And hence, if it's in a glass container or behind a glass, a transparent glass screen, then it would not help. Omar Abaye, tsoa kolshehu. A small amount of tsoa, mevatla veroik. Roik is saliva or spittle. One could spit on this small amount of tsoa and cover it with saliva. Omar Rava uvaroik ova. Rava says it has to be a thick type saliva consistency. Omar Rava tsoya beguma maniach sadola v'kurek Kriyat Shema. If there is tsoa, a feces in a pit, it's sufficient for you to put your foot to cover it with your shoe and say Kriyat Shema thusly. Bo mar brei deravino tsoa dvuka besandol omai. What about a case where the tsoa is stuck to his shoe? What is the din then? Can he say Kriyat Shema in that fashion? Teku. That remains unresolved. Omar Rav Yehuda, akum orum osu likros Kriyat Shema kenegdo. A naked idol worshipper would prevent one from saying Kriyat Shema in his presence. The Gemara asks, "Ma iria akum afil Yisrael nami?" Why speak about an idol worshipper when it's true also with regard to a naked Jew? The Gemara answers, "You're right, but Yisrael pshita laid the osur. I don't need Rav Yehuda to tell me about a naked Jew. That's obviously a problem that would prohibit the recitation of Kriyat Shema Ella. Akum istrichalei. The case of the idol worshipper is necessary to be taught." I would have thought without Rav Yehuda, I would have thought, since the pasuk in referring to idol worshippers, it says, "Asher besar chamor besorim," theirs is the flesh of donkeys. Emo kechamor be'amahu. I would have thought that a naked Gentile is like an unclothed donkey, and just like you can, there's no problem with reciting Kriya Shema in the presence of an unclothed donkey. So, in the presence of an unclothed idol worshipper, would be the same. Komash Malon. So here is what Rav Yehuda tells us: the inu nami ikru erva, that idol worshippers are also characterized as erva, and erva is that which exposed erva prevents the recitation of Kriya Shema. And how do I know that an akum, in other words, a non-Jew that is unclothed, is also considered erva? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, in the context of noyach, after the flood, it says, ve'ervas avihem lo ra'u. So that erva is a term used in the context of Noach, which was pre-Jewish. Hence, even an idol worshipper is considered erva, of course, if he's unclothed. V'lo yiskasil b'mayim haroyim v'lo b'mei hamashir ad sheyatil l'soichon mayim. We encountered this when we were learning the Mishnah. We pointed out then that this needed explanation. Here the Gemara explains that one should not cover himself with foul water, nor with water that was used for soaking flax, which also has a foul odor. And then in the Mishnah said, until you place water in it. Bekama, maya, rami, v'yosa. How much water? If you have a pool of foul water, what are we asking of the person to dump another pool of water into it? In other words, it's somewhat exaggerated to suggest that you pour water into the foul pool of water. Ela hachi komar. Rather, there's a totally different explanation here, and we should read the Mishnah thusly: Lo yiskase lo v'mayim horoyim v'lo v'mei hamashra klau. And when it comes to one immersed in foul-smelling water, there is no chance of saying Kriya Shema whatsoever. Don't say Kriya Shema. Don't use that kind of water for covering oneself. Umei raglayim. Now, when it comes to urine, and you have a little bit of urine, and it's in a vessel, and you now want to say Kriya Shema next to it, ad shiyatil l'soichon mayim v'yikra. You'd have to neutralize the small amount of urine that's in a vessel by pouring other water into it. Tanu Rabbanan. Before going on in the Gemara, under our no say, the topic heading on the side, we have number one, bitul mei raglayim, the canceling of urine, as we've just learned. And number two, harchoka mimei raglayim, distancing oneself from urine. And three, mito hamafsekis, the ability of a bed to serve as a block between the one reciting Kriya Shema and the Mei Raglayim. So we continue in the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanon, kamo yatil l'soichon, how much is to be poured into the Mei Raglayim? So mayim kol shehu, any amount of water. Rabbi Zakkai Omer Revius is a given quantity, as opposed to the Tanakhama who said kol shehu. Omar Rav Nachman, machlokes lebesof. The machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Zakkai is when you are pouring water after the Mei Raglayim was already there. Avo betchila kol shein. If you have a receptacle and it's going to be used for Mei Raglayim, you can do the following. You can put any amount of clean water in there. So the clean water placed in the vessel first, even if it's any small amount, will allow for the recitation of Kriya Shema near this receptacle, even though it's going to fill with Mei Raglayim. The Rashi explains the concept here about Rashi. You'll see almost halfway down the Rashi commentary, Avol lechatchila shekodmu hamayim lemei raglayim, where the clean water was there before the Meir Aglaim got there. Divrei HaKol Kolshehu, everyone will agree that any amount of clean water will solve the anticipated problem. She Kishematil Meir Aglaim B'Kli L'Besof, when the urine is accumulates afterwards, Rishon Rishon Shenofel L'Soy Chamayim is Batel. The every droplet of urine that falls in there becomes voided in the clean water. The Alpha Pi Shehem Rabin Vahochin, even though over the course of time there's going to statistically be more May Raglayim there, Kfar Bidla, whatever falls in immediately becomes voided, so that halachically speaking, we don't say that there is any May Raglayim there. As you can see from this Gemara, and is as the case in many other Gemaras, we deal with halachic realities other than physical realities in determining halacha. Sometimes they are one and the same, and sometimes not. So we continue in the Gemara. We so far saw Rav Nachman's opinion. Now Rav Yosef, he disagrees. Rav Yosef Omar Machlokes Lichatchila, the Machlokes that we saw Tanakam Rav Zakkai, and Rav Zakkai will be Machmir, that's in the case that the clean water is there first. Rabbi Zakkai insisting on having a revius before any Mei Raglayim accumulates their Avol B'Soif, Divrei HaKol revius. However, if you have already Mei Raglayim there, they have that there first, everyone will agree that you will need a full revius in order to neutralize the pre-existing Mei Raglayim. Omale Rav Yosef L'Shamei. I see li revi'asa demaya k'rebi Zakkai. He says, bring me a revius of water in accordance with Rebbe Zakkai, which means even at the beginning, before Mei Raglayim is poured in, there has to be a revius there and not just a kol shehu. Tanu Rabbanan. We continue in the Gemara dealing with with receptacles that hold these different kinds of waste. Graf shel re'i ve'ovid shel Mei Raglayim. A graf and an ovid are both names of receptacles. It's just that the graf is used for solid waste and the ovid is for the urine. Also, likros kriyashma kenegdon ve'af alpi she'ein bohen klum. The vessels themselves are problematic, even though they don't have their normal contents in them at all. The vessels themselves are represent a problem for the recitation of Kriyat Shema. Umei Raglayim Atzmon, and the Mei Raglayim themselves in a non-formal vessel, in any vessel, so we're talking about a vessel other than the Ovid Shel Mei Raglayim, Ad Shiyati L'Soichen Mayim. They present a problem as well unless water is added to them. The kamal yatil sochan mayim, how much water would be necessary to add? So we saw these opinions quoted before. Kol shehu and Rav Zakkai omer revius. Bein lifnei hamita, bein laachar hamita. It is forbidden to say kriyashma whether they are in front. The Mei Raglayim is in front of the bed or in on the other side of the bed. So even if the bed is mafsik between you and the Mei Raglayim, it still presents a problem. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, the achar amita korei, lifnei amita eino korei. If it's in back of the bed, it's okay, and if it's in front of the bed, it's a problem. Avol marchiku arba amos v'korei. However, if he distances himself four amos, he could say the Kriyat Shema. Reb Shimon Lozer Omer, afilu bayis meo amo, even if the house or bias in the Shas can also be a reference to a room. So even if the room is 100 amos, lo yikra at shiotziyam o shiyanicham tachas amita. Even if it's a large room, measuring 100 amos, don't say kriyashma until you remove the Mei Raglayim from that area or place them under a bed. And if it's under a bed, it's as if they're buried in the ground. Ibaya laho hechi koma. Here the Gemara wants to understand what did Rav Shimon ben Gamliel mean. What did he mean in his comment? So we have two possibilities, and we note them as aleph in the end of the line. O dilma beis, or possibly a second approach. Hechi Komer, how did he mean, what did he mean? Achar Hamita Kore Miad, if the Mei Raglaim is on the other side of a bed, even if it's immediately on the other side of the bed, you can say Kriyashma. Lifnei Hamita, if they are on the same side as the bed as you are, Marchik Arba Amos V'Kore, then just distance yourself 4 amos and then say the Kriyashma Oy Dilma, or possibly Hochi Ko'amar. Le'achar Amita Marchik Arba Amos V'Kore, that even though it's on the other side of the bed and the bed is between you and the Mei Raglaim, you still have to distance yourself 4 amos. Lifnei Hamita Eino Kore Klal, but if it's on the same side, you and the Mei Raglaim on the same side of the bed, then you cannot say Kriyashma at all. So how are we to understand Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? Toshma, so we have a Tanaic source. Shimon Lozer Omer, Achar Hamita, Koremer. Now we've dashed underline because this is what we want to focus on, the issue of in front of and in back of a bed, or on the other side of a bed. So this source says, Achar Hamita, Koremiyad. It's like the first in our two possibilities with Aleph or Dilma Beis. This is like the Aleph possibility, where if it's on the other side of the bed, so you can read Kriyishma immediately without any additional distancing. Lefnei Hamita Marchik Arba Amos, if it's on the same, you and the Meirgam is on the same side of the bed, then you have to distance yourself 4 amos. Rav Shimon Amliel Omer, Afilu Bayis Meo Amo Lo Yukro Ad Sheyetziyam O Shenicham Tachas Hamita. Even if it's a very large room or hall in which the Mei Raglaim is found, then you cannot say the Kriyashma until you remove them altogether or place them under a bed. So now, as far as the issue of in front of the bed or on the other side of the bed, Ba'ayon if Shita Lon. We concluded our original question that opened up about 6-7 lines ago, Ibaya Laho, so we understood it's like the Aleph approach. However, Masnaiso Kashina Adori, but when you look at the sources, you have the most recent source that was used to answer the question, and the source beforehand that featured Rav Shimon Amliel and Rav Shimon Lozer, just like this most recent source, you notice that they are actually contradicting one another. In other words, what did Rav Shimon Amliel say in the previous source, and what did he say in this source? And the same with regard to Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So the Gemara answers, Epuch Basraisa. We simply have to switch around this second source and have Rav Shimon ben Elazar saying, Afilu Bayis Meo Amo Loikru Ad Sheyetziyam, and then it will conform to the statement of Rav Shimon ben Elazar in the previous source. The Gemara asks, My Chozes de Afchis Basraisa Epuch Hamaisa. What is it that you saw fit to switch around the latter source? Why not switch around the earlier source? The Gemara answers, Man Shamis Le Omar Kule Bayis Ke Arba Amas Domi. Who is it to be known, to have said, that even a very large room or an entire house has a din of 4 amos, and therefore you are always, as long as the Mei Raglaim and you are in the same house, you're always considered within 4 amos, even though in reality you may be 100 amos away, but the fact that you're in the same enclosure, it makes it like you're within its 4 amos. Who says that? Reb Shimon ben Elazar he. So therefore, we want to see Reb Shimon ben Elazar associated with the statement that says, Afilu bayis meo amo lo yikru kriyashma. And we will accomplish that by switching around the second source. Omar Rav Yosef, Boi Minei Mei Rav Huna. Rav Yosef tells us that I asked of Rav Huna regarding the placing of the Mei Raglaim under a bed. So he lays out his question. Mita Pochos Mishloshe Pshitali De Kalovut Domi. If you have a bed that is within three, it's a bed that's on legs, but within 3 handbreadths of the ground, placing something under the bed is like burying it, because within 3 tfachim, it's the term kelovud. Lovud means attached. So it's as if the bed is attached to the ground, and hence that which is underneath it, it's as if it's buried in the ground. What about the following numbers? These are all in tfachim. Shloisha, arbo, chamisha, shisha, shiva, shmoina, tisha, mahu. Well, from 3 till 9, if the space under the bed is 3 tfachim or more till 9, mahu, what would the din be then? Is it considered, are the Mei Raglaim under the bed, with those statistics, considered covered or not? Omar le lo yodana. So Rav Huna had answered Rav Yosef and said, I don't know. Asora vadai lo miboyoli. As far as asking about ten tefachim, that I didn't need to ask about. That's too high. Omar Abai Shafir Avdis Eloi Bayaloch. It's good that you didn't bother asking him about ten tefachim. Kol asor ushusachritihi. Whenever you're dealing with ten tefachim, that which is above ten tefachim is considered like a separate domain. So that even though the meiraglayim may be under such a bed, but it's considered totally visible, because the bed itself, being at a height of ten tefachim, is considered a separate domain. Omar Rava hilchasal pachas mishloshi kilavadomi. Rava rules on this matter that less than three tefachim is considered as if the bed is attached to the ground, and hence the meiraglayim is completely covered. Asor reshus achritihi, ten tefachim, the bed is considered in a different domain, and it would be ineffective to place the meiraglayim under the bed in the hopes of that serving as a cover for the meiraglayim. Mishlosh asora hainu debo aminei Rav Yosef mirav huna velo poshat lei. And from 3 till 10, that was Rav Yosef's question to Rav Huna, which he did not answer. Omar Rav halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Rav rules like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, which was a strict ruling we saw above regarding the house being considered, even if it's a large house, it's all considered within 4 amos. V'chein Omar Boli, Omar Rav Yankiv, Boli is a name. So Boli, quoting Rav Yankiv, Omar Rav Yankiv brought the Bas Shmuel halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Elazar. The Rava Omar ain halacha Rav Shimon Elazar. Rava disagrees with Rav in paskening. He says we're not going to rule like him. Rav Achoy Asik Le Librei Bei Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta. Rav Acha was preparing his son for marriage, and this preparation was taking place in the home of Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta. I Le Luchupa. The couple was escorted to the to the marriage canopy, and chuppah also means they're spending the first night together. The Rashi explains this a little further, but first the Gemara says Ailu l'chuppah v'lo hava mistaya milsa. Looking at the Rashi, Ailu l'chuppah v'lo hava mistaya milsa denisuin, their coupling didn't meet with success. He was incapable of consummating intimacy with the new bride. So here you have a couple that just got together and were unsuccessful in this initial intimacy. So the father went in to check out, what's going on? Why didn't things work out? He noticed that in the same room as the couple, there was a Sefer Torah lying there. Omar Lahu, the father exclaimed, and we're talking here about Rav Achoy, he exclaimed, Ichu hashta lo asoy, if it would be that I had not arrived now, sakantun levri, you would have endangered my son. In other words, you allowed my son to be with his new bride in the same room as a Sefer Torah, that poses a danger. Desanyo, Bayis Sheshbo Sefer Torah Tfilin, a house that has in it a Sefer Torah or Tfilin, also Lishamesh Bo Esamita Achiotsium, you cannot conduct intimacy in such a location until you take them out, the Tfilin or Sefer Torah, o Shianichim Klibisokli, or you put them in a double container, a vessel within a vessel. Omar Abai, Lo Shonu Elo Bekli She'eno Kelyon. The idea of a double vessel working is that both vessels are not an official vessel for them. Aval b'kli shehu kelyon. If, imagine, we can use a common example of tefillin, and many of you are familiar with tefillin cases, the zekel, the tefillin zekel, the tefillin sack, the formal, most of you are familiar with the velvet embroidered type tefillin receptacles. That would be its official kli. Aval b'kli shehu kelyon afilu asora moni k'chad monadom. If you had 10 tefillin sacks, one placed in the other, it would be considered only one vessel. And we require kli besoch kli. Omar Rava. Glima, now here we continue at the top of Chof Vov Amud Aleph. Glima is an article of clothing, we can call it a coat, some type of garment. A kamtura, if one were to drape a coat over a bookshelf, Rashi says, Argis shall svarim, a box of books, a box containing svarim. Kikli besoch kli domi, that would be considered the double vessel. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Sefer Torah tzorach lasos lo mechitza asora. Rashi says, mechitza asora v'im lav lo yishamesh. If there is a Sefer Torah and you are in the same room with your mate, then you would need to have a fence or a wall, something that blocks, a screen that blocks, that measures 10 tfachim in height. Marzutra iklo lebei Ravashi, chazio leduchte demor boravashi. Rav Marzutra visited the home of Ravashi and he saw the bed. The duchte is the place, but it means the place where his bed, where Mar Ravashi's bed was, the monach bei Sefer Torah. There was a Sefer Torah there, the Ovid Le Mechitza Asora, and there was a fence of 10 tfachim. Omar Le Keman, based on whom are you behaving, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Notice the arrow we have to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. You can align it with the earlier arrow where you saw Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's name featured. So are you relying on the mechitza of 10 tfachim based on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? I don't know if I would. He says, Eimar d'yom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, d'les le beisachrina. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, when you have no other choice, you don't have another bias, another house, another room to place it in, then you would rely on the mechitza of asara tvachim. Mar ha is le beisachrina, but you have another house. Amar le, so he answers, lava del toyer, I didn't pay attention, I didn't think about that. You know, he's agreeing, you're right, that if you have another house, or possibly another room in which to place the Sefer Torah, so you should do thusly and not rely on the mechitza of Asora Tvachim. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.